For our message, we want to turn to Romans chapter 12 this morning. Romans chapter 12, and the Bible says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Praise the Lord. God has a powerful message here for us today. And as you've seen on the sign as you drove past the church, the walk of holiness is what I'm looking at. And as you read this section, you see God is concerned about holiness in his church. He's concerned about us walking holy before him. And today there's a great need for holiness that produces joy. Stealing, lying, gossiping, and the list goes on, should not be a part of the Christian life. You know, they say in the statistics that premarital sex in the Church of Christ is as common as it is in the world, according to statistics. And that's a shame. I remember teaching in Bible college and how we had to always emphasize the concept of purity. If you're not married, you don't get involved with sex. Sex is a gift from God for married couples. Pornography on the internet has destroyed many pastors, many husbands, and many marriages. Oswald Chambers, one of the old preachers, stated, "There is a danger of forgetting that the Bible reveals not first the love of God, but the intense blazing holiness of God, with his love as the center of that holiness." In other words, God's main attribute isn't love, it's holiness. We serve a holy God. And love is there, yes. But you need to walk in holiness. Holiness is separation from worldly vices and separation to God. Always remember, holiness is separation. Separation from the world and separation to God. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, "For God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness." God has called us unto holiness. Do you think how you walk every day? Do you think about what you're doing? Do you think, is my life holy to the Lord? Am I doing what pleases God? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, "Abstain from all appearances of evil." And another one is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. "Follow peace with all men and holiness," listen to this, "and holiness without which no man will see the Lord." You know, Jesus, in the gospel, Jesus said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not speak with tongues? Did we not cast out demons and all the rest of the things?" And Jesus said, "Depart from me, you who walk in iniquity." See, you could come to the Lord and come to church and raise your hands and have a hallelujah time, but how do you walk when you leave the doors? Are you walking holy unto the Lord? That is important. Holiness is very important in the life of the Christian. Peter, in 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Be holy, for I am holy." Holiness is a powerful, powerful command in the Word of God. You know what? I believe it's possible for believers to walk in holiness today. Just because you have all of these statements about holiness doesn't mean that we can't walk in holiness. We can. You and I can walk in holiness. We can be pleasing to God in how we speak and how we talk and how we walk. You and I are able to do that. And this passage of scripture that we're looking at in Romans chapter 8 expresses three ways that you can walk in holiness. And the first we find in verse 1 is by being consecrated. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship." That is a living and holy sacrifice. Is that what you are? Is that what your life is? A living and holy sacrifice. What a glorious sacrifice this is compared to the legal sacrifices of the Old Testament, which after they were slain, there weren't any sacrifices at all. The death of the great Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world, has done away with all the dead victims from off the altar of God and has made a way for the redeemed to be living sacrifices. You and I can be living sacrifices. Today, we can be living sacrifices. David said in Psalm 51 and verse 16 to 17, "For thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Remember Samuel and how he questioned Saul, King Saul, after Saul was waiting for Samuel, waiting and waiting because Samuel was the priest to make the sacrifice and he didn't come. So what does Saul do? Saul sacrifices, disobeyed the commandment of God. And in 1 Samuel 15:22, the Bible says, "And Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Obedience is important. To be a living, holy sacrifice unto God, we must be obedient to Him and have a broken spirit. That is, our will must be in complete submission to His will. We can be a living sacrifice that is holy because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're pure when you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. So every day live as unto the Lord. Every day walk knowing you represent Jesus Christ wherever you go. You know, wherever you go, you're representing Jesus. You know, the devil will come and tempt you many ways. But remember, where you are, you stand as a representative of Christ. Now, people may do many things, but remember, what you're doing is representing Christ. So wherever you go, you stand for Jesus. You might think, I know, like ministers, we in the POC believe in abstinence. We believe you don't touch alcohol and you should never touch it. And you know, I come from an alcoholic background. My family were all boozers and drunks and everything else. And I know I've seen the power of alcohol and what it's done. So I never wanted to touch it anyhow. That's part of my life. I never touch alcohol. But you know, there's always the temptation that, hey, if you're away from everybody else, Who's going to know if you have a glass? Who's going to know? You know, there's somebody who's watching you. He'll know. He knows. He sees us. How do we live? Are we hypocrites? Are we genuine? Are we walking in holiness to please Him? Or do we just do it when people are watching? See, you know, they talk about the accountability factor where you have somebody that you're accountable to. But, you know, if you can do something wrong when He's watching you, well, who's to say you can't lie to your accountability partner? I believe you need to always think and know Jesus is watching you. Jesus watches us and He knows what we do. He knows what we say. He knows everything. Billy Graham, he said, the blood of Christ may seem to be grim, repulsive, subject to those who do not realize its true significance. But to those who accepted His redemption and have been set free from sin's claims, the blood of Christ is precious. You know, we sing hymns about the blood has never lost its power, and there's power in the blood. We know the significance of the blood. And many in the liberal society of Christianity are saying, get rid of the blood hymns. That's so medieval, so dark ages. It is not. It's the truth of the living God. It's the power of the blood that sets us free. It's the power of the blood that gives us redemption and gives us salvation. And so we magnify the Lord. He has sacrificed His life that you and I could enjoy the peace of God. Oh, I put my head on the pillow at night after I kiss my wife, and I feel so good. I know it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul because of the blood of Christ, because what He has done. He's an awesome Savior, and He's walking with us every day. Amen. Brothers, you need to kiss your wife at nighttime before you go to bed. Amen. Hallelujah. I saw them laughing there a little bit, so... We need to give God the glory and the praise because He's with us. He has redeemed us. You know, there was this fella had a dream. And he dreamed that he died and went to heaven. That's in his dream. And in the dream, he saw someone and he said, who are you? And the guy said, I'm a Roman Christian. I was put to death under Nero's reign. That person, the guy that asked, he said, oh, how awful. And in the dream, the guy said, no, it wasn't awful. I'm glad to give my life for the Lord who sacrificed His life for me. And then he went on in his dream and he met another guy and he said, who are you? And he said, I'm from the South Sea Islands. John Williams came there, told me about Jesus, and I became a Christian. Because I became a Christian, I was killed for my faith. Just then the dreamer woke up. And he said, oh, how little I have sacrificed for Jesus. And he sobbed, God, forgive me. I'll take my cross and I will live for you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's living holy. Being consecrated to the Lord. Living as a living sacrifice. The Bible says this is acceptable to God in verse 1. Believers in their renewed character and endeared relationship to God through His Son Jesus are well-pleasing in His sight when they present their bodies a living and holy sacrifice. You're pleasing God as you walk for Him. You know, there's a passage over in Hebrews 13. Powerful passage of Scripture. Hebrews 13 verse 12 says, therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people through His own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For there we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that giving thanks to His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for such sacrifices God is pleased. Amen. God's pleased when we live every day for Him. When you get up in the morning and you know, I'm alive today because of the grace of God. You know, it'd be nice to fall, when you fall asleep, to just stay sleeping and end up in heaven. That's a nice way to go. But it's because God wakes you up every morning and you say, hallelujah, I'm awake to serve God today. Is that how you wake up? Or you wake up, oh, I've got to get up. How do you wake up? Wake up and give God the glory, give God the praise, and be excited what He has in store for you, because the Lord is watching over each one of us. The Bible tells us that present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. King James says is your reasonable service. And it is reasonable because we're saved and redeemed by Christ, so we need to be a living sacrifice wherever we go. We need to give Him praise because of the mercies of God. Repentance is an awesome thing. You know, you're going down a road and then you meet Christ and you repent and you turn from that road and you turn around. You know, if you were down the road of alcoholism and you were a drunk, when you meet Christ, you're no longer a drunk. You start walking the other way and you forsake that alcohol. That's what repentance is. It's not like the sailor in the time of the storm who throws his goods overboard, and in the time of calm, he wishes he had them back. That's not repentance. It's not repentance when you're an alcoholic and you meet Christ and you get saved. And then you take your whiskey and your beer and all the rest of the stuff and dump it down the drain. And then you say, what did I do that? You go out and buy some more. That's not repentance. Repentance is you meet Christ and you turn and you're changed. And you forsake the old ways and you walk after Christ. How awesome it is. Real repentance is Christ coming into your heart and life and changing you. There's a remission of sins, just like the Israelites that were bitten by serpents. Look to the serpent of brass in the Old Testament, and they were saved from death. So also when we look to Christ on the cross and believe, we're saved from our sins. Our sins don't come and try to get inside you. They're not like spiders coming and trying to wrap themselves around you. When Christ saves you, He sets you free from that bondage. No longer are we bound by sin. The sins that come against us, the blood of Christ has broken that chain. We're adopted into the family of God and the witness of the Spirit that we are His children. And when you come to Christ, you know that you're a child of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says that if we believe on Christ, we are sons and daughters of God when you receive Christ as your Savior. How beautiful are the mercies of God. It's only reasonable and rational that we present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice unto God after all He's done for us. So it's not an attitude that, I have to do this. It's an attitude that I get to do this. I want to be holy. I want to walk pleasing the Lord wherever I go. That's the attitude we need. Not because I'm saved, I can't go to the bars. Because I'm saved, I can't do this or do that. Christ saves us and redeems us. And what a privilege it is to represent Him. Wherever you go, wherever I go, the message of Christ should be going. People should see Christ in you. And don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. When you go to a restaurant and bow your head and pray, your life is speaking to others in that restaurant. People see you. And they know something different about that person. They're giving praise to God. They're thanking God for their blessings. Well, the second way you can walk in holiness is by being transformed. First, by being consecrated. Second, by being transformed. Verse 2 says, And we do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, don't be conformed to this world. The world is fallen human nature, acting itself in the human family. It's the kingdom of the carnal mind, which is enmity against God. We're always tempted to be conformed to the world and by the world's standards. There's a great danger in conforming to the world. When you conform to the world, you're looking for destruction. What happened to Lot's wife? Remember Lot's wife? We just read it, if you're following through in the Bible reading. Just read how Lot's wife, she turned back to Sodom and Gomorrah and was turned to a pillar of salt. She was ruined by the world. Remember Achan? Achan was ruined by the world. Remember Haman? He wanted all the accolades. He wanted all the attention. What happened to Haman? He pursued wickedness and he received what he sowed. He hung on his own gallows. He was destroyed because of the world. Judas. What happened to Judas? Remember Judas? Same thing. The world, the power of the world got into Judas. And he was destroyed. Same with Simon Magnus. The world destroyed him. Same with Demas. The world. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Matthew chapter 16 and verse 12 says, "For what will a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" See, you might want all kinds of things, but what about your soul? That's the most important thing. Doesn't matter how much money you accumulate, how much wealth you have, how great your kingdom is. What matters is, how is your heart towards God? Are you right with the Lord? That's what matters. There's a passage that Jesus gave us, an awesome parable. And Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions.'" It doesn't matter how much you get, your life doesn't consist of that abundance. "And he told them a parable, saying, 'The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? My bank account is running over so much, there's no place to put all the money that I have," is what he's saying. "Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool.'" God's pretty straightforward when he talks to people. And he says to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Well, it's pretty straightforward. Don't focus your life on money. Don't focus your life on your treasures. Focus your life on God and walk after him in holiness and righteousness. Walk after him, honoring him with your substance. Give to the Lord what belongs to the Lord. The Bible says a tithe is the Lord's. Then there's offerings on top of that. Tithe is 10% of your gross income. I better not go there. But that's an area where people show their hearts by what they do with their possessions, right? Your possessions shouldn't have a hold or a grip on you. God has to have the grip. God has to have the the focus, and we need to be submitted to Him. Walking in holiness. Holiness makes you rich towards God. We must go against the current of the world, like the old saying, any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live one to swim upstream. Are you a live fish today? I hope you're a holy Christian. I hope and believe and trust that you're all walking after God with all your hearts, that you're sold out to the Lord. The Bible talks about not being conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, I've got to read another scripture. Beautiful scripture in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 10 to 16 says, well, let's read verse 9 too. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with the evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. That's what you're supposed to be. You're the holy one. You're the beloved one. That's what the Bible tells me. Put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with each other and forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. Not going around looking at the faults of people. You know, if I followed all of you, I probably would find at least one fault in every one of you. I would find that, I'm sure, if I had close enough relationship with all of you, I would find at least one fault. But my attention should not be looking at you and trying to pick a fault with you. My attention should be looking at Jesus and seeing what He has done. That's our focus. Our focus needs to be on the Master, and you see the people as His beloved. Don't ever speak against the church. You criticize the church. I don't care what church you go to. You criticize it. You know what you're criticizing? You're criticizing Christ. He's the one who owns the church. And the church is made up of all kinds of people from all kinds of different journeys of life. And so we have people who just get saved, and they have all kinds of things wrong with them. Pray for them. Don't criticize them. It's not your job to be a critic. Your job is to focus on Jesus and lift them to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, come back to this passage of Scripture. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving. This is a powerful scripture. Forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. You know, if you want to be forgiven when you stand before Jesus, if you hold grudges against people, watch out. The Bible tells us to forgive each other as Christ forgave us. Just as the Lord forgave you, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Hallelujah. Well, if you put on these things, your mind will truly be renewed. Having the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly will also renew your minds. Whatever was up there before, all the things you went through in this world, when you come to Christ and read His Word and get it into your mind, it changes who you are. It is amazing, the grace of God and how He changes us. Hallelujah. Bible says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Philippians 4:8. So walk in holiness by being consecrated, by being transformed, and thirdly, by being humble. You know, we need to walk in humility. And the Bible says, in Romans 12, verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Pride is not limited to the emperors of far-flung realms. Almost anyone, by comparing himself with those who have less talent, less success, or less popularity, can emerge with a feeling of satisfaction that's very opposite of humility. Pride is all too common among God's people, though he warns them specifically that no one has anything to boast about, since all our gifts come from him. Don't lift yourself up. You know, pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick, except the one who has it. The Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but to think soberly. Billy Graham again stated, I've never known a person whom I thought was truly filled with the Holy Spirit, who went out and bragged about it and sought to draw attention to himself. Have you ever seen anybody full of the Holy Spirit doing that? I don't think so. Jonathan Edwards, one of the great preachers from the 1700s, he said, nothing sets a person so much out of the devil's reach as humility. But also the opposite side of the coin. Don't belittle yourself either. That's just as bad as pride. It's false modesty or false humility. I'm no good for anything. I can't do anything right. I'm just a little worm, and I'm just, you know, this and all that. All those things, what are you doing? Drawing attention to yourself. When you're proud and arrogant and thinking, I'm God's man of power for the hour, you know, that draws attention to me, right? Or when you say, I'm so useless for God. What are you doing? Drawing attention to yourself. Draw attention to Christ. You are who you are because of Jesus. And Jesus makes you special. Jesus makes you important. You know, I said one thing, preaching once, and brother took me to task over it. I said, I'm as good as anyone. I am because of Christ. He died for me, and he makes me as good as anyone. It comes from a background where I had an inferiority complex, and I thought I was no good for nothing. But when I come to Christ, I realize I'm somebody special because Jesus died for me. So I'm as good as anyone else. I'm as good as the next guy because of the power of Christ. He redeemed me and made me a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. You know, Samuel Chadwick said, if we are successful, don't crow. If you fail, don't croak. So don't talk about how bad you are. Don't talk about how good you are. Talk about Jesus. Exalt the Master. Hallelujah. True humility says, look at Jesus and what he has done for me. I'm special because of Jesus. I am what I am because of Jesus Christ. True holiness is walking in humility. Walking in humility that honors God. Every Christian has some gifts, as the Bible says here in verses 6 to 8. We've all been given different gifts. I don't believe anyone here is useless in God's eyes. There's not one of you that could say, I'm useless to God. If you love Christ and you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, you're special. And God gives gifts to everyone. We all have different gifts. The point is, are you exercising those gifts for the Master? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16 says, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You know, we need to exercise the gifts that God has given us. We each and every one have gifts. If you've been given the gift of tongues to speak in church and gift to interpret, you need to exercise that. When you're not exercising that, you know what you're doing? You're harming the body of Christ. Because God has put gifts in the church, gift of prophecy. If God gives you a prophecy and you say, oh, I can't say that, you're hindering the work of the Holy Spirit. Exercise those gifts and give Him the praise, because He is the one who has given us those gifts. So, brothers and sisters, I believe it's possible for us to walk in holiness today. You can walk in holiness today. And you can walk in holiness by being consecrated, by being transformed, and by being humble. Leonard Ravenhill stated, "The greatest miracle that God can do today is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make that man holy, and then put him back in that unholy world and keep him holy." God can do that, and He will keep you holy if you keep your eyes on Him. If you keep pressing towards Him, He will watch over you, and you will be His trophy of grace. You can see the power of God working in your life as you honor Him. And so I encourage you, brothers and sisters, walk in holiness. Walk after God with all your hearts.